UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
UAB is a world leader in the treatment of rare genetic kidney diseases. Today, we're talking about the Rare Kidney Disease Clinic at UAB Medicine. My guests in this panel discussion are Dr. Eric Wallace. He's an associate professor of nephrology and the co-director of the Rare Genetic Kidney Disease Clinic, and Dr. Dana Rizik. She's a professor and the director of clinical trials research in the nephrology division, and they're both at UAB Medicine. Welcome, doctors. I'm so glad to have you joining us today. Dr. Wallace, I'd like to start with you. Tell us a little bit about rare kidney diseases. What conditions are considered rare diseases?
In the United States, we have a definition of rare disease. Specifically, the ultra-rare diseases are those that affect less than 50,000 people in the country at any one time. And, you know, some examples of these, and one of the ones that we specialize here at UAB are Fabry disease, for example. And Fabry disease is a very rare genetic kidney disease that affects about 1 in 40,000 individuals. So thus far in the country, I believe there's anywhere from 5 to 6,000 people identified with the genetic mutation or with the disease. So that's the scope of what we're talking about. It's a very small number of individuals that have really significant diseases that need people to specialize in those so they can get the best care needed to manage their disease.
Dr. Rizik, tell us a little bit about the Rare Kidney Disease Clinic at UAB Medicine, the conditions that you treat, and really a little bit about some of these conditions. Are they all genetic? Using the word rare, are they just something that happens out of the blue? Tell us a little bit about the clinic and these diseases specifically.
The diseases that we deal with in the glomerular disease clinic are really four major entities. These are not necessarily rare. They're rare when you consider other systemic disorders that affect the kidneys, like diabetes and hypertension, that are so widely spread. Then these glomerular diseases appear to be rare, but certainly in our world, they're not as rare. We see them fairly often. So when we talk about glomerular diseases, we primarily our focus in this clinic on diseases that start in the kidneys. Broadly, we look at four diseases: IgA nephropathy, membranous nephropathy, focal segmental glomerulosclerosis, which is for short referred to as FSGS, and minimal change disease. And these are big names, but essentially these diseases present most often with protein plus or minus blood in the urine and ultimately lead to kidney dysfunction, so loss of kidney function to the point where people may need dialysis at some point in time. So they're not always genetic, meaning inherited per se. There is a predisposition for these diseases in families that have had kidney disease, but they're not inherited necessarily from generation to generation.
Well, thank you for that. So, Dr. Wallace, tell us a little bit about what makes these rare kidney diseases unique and what's going on in research and treatment for these types of conditions. What are you doing at UAB?
Well, so one of the things that makes these conditions unique, and this includes the rare genetic kidney diseases as well as some of the non-genetic kidney diseases that are rare, is that it's really the numbers of people that have them. So the less physicians see a certain disease state, the less likely they're going to be comfortable managing it. So at clinics like the Rare Genetic Kidney Disease Clinic and the Glomerular Disease Clinic, you have physicians who, because you have concentrated all of these rare diseases into one location, you have physicians who have expertise in them because really they've seen more than most physicians ever will in a lifetime. You know, for instance, when you talk about Fabry disease, when the incidence is 1 in 40,000, you might have a physician who never sees it during their entire life, whereas we have close to 100 patients. So you actually pool all of the knowledge and the expertise and the experience by dealing with rare disease patients into one center. Now, the other thing that both Dr. Rizik and I do is we try and further the knowledge in how to treat these patients by things largely through clinical trials. So UAB is an excellent site for multiple clinical trials, including clinical trials that Dr. Rizik is involved in with membranous nephropathy, FSGS, Alport's disease, Fabry disease specifically. There are over 5 clinical trials going on right now in trying to better the care of these patients. You get the experience of someone who has taken care of multiple patients with the same disease as opposed to a physician who might have only taken care of one in their life. That's the benefit of having these really specialized clinics.
I agree with everything that Eric mentioned. So some of it is truly the expertise after having seen these diseases over and over again. We also have the opportunity to collaborate with other physicians on campus that deal with these with complications that come out of these diseases. We really strive to understand these diseases better by participating in clinical research, but also in basic science research. For example, UAB is a world leader in understanding IgA nephropathy, and they have been publishing and doing research on that disease for many, many years, and really have contributed tremendously to better understanding of this disease pathogenesis. Why do we have the disease? Glomerular diseases are also often treated with aggressive immunosuppressive treatment. So you have to know and be familiar and comfortable with these cutting-edge treatments to be able to prescribe them and, you know, be ready to deal with consequences or complications from these treatments as well. Finally, we try to get patients connected with clinical trials. As Eric mentioned, there are cutting-edge treatments that are not available. They are not FDA approved for treatment, but they are being tested to treat these rare diseases. And you will have access to these if you qualify for the clinical trial and you're interested in participating in research if you come to the UAB clinic. And then I would like to also add that we obviously see patients that come from far and away, because we do help anybody in the state and in neighboring states as well get treatment. And we're more than willing to co-manage these patients with their local nephrologist, because we know there is a huge burden on patients to travel all the way to Birmingham, often. So, we try to help patients at all levels if we can.
Dr. Rizik, that's so interesting. And I'm glad you made that point and about other providers. And before we talk about that and when it's important to refer, what about genetic counseling and testing for patients who have this kidney disease gene and their relatives? Can they be involved in some of the clinical trials and or the center, the clinic as well?
Absolutely. So some of these diseases have a genetic predisposition or background. The diseases that I treat, the glomerular diseases, I would say for now it's the exception rather than the rule that they're linked to one single gene mutation, as opposed to diseases that Eric is dealing with day in and day out. Having said that, yes, if patients are known to have a genetic mutation and identified with a particular disease, then they could be eligible for participation in clinical trials and further research. So the diseases, the glomerular diseases I deal with, are primarily for now being identified or diagnosed via a kidney biopsy. And I'll let Eric, comment on the genetic mutation issue, because it's more relevant to his disorders.
I agree with Dr. Rizik, and I keep coming back to Fabry disease because it's really one of our strengths here at UAB. For so many people, they don't even know they have the disease, and they've been born with it. So from the time they were born, they have had a disease, and most of them go through life with many people saying, oh, your symptoms are related to psychiatric disorders. Some get labeled as pain-seeking and things that are really difficult for patients to hear. And then all of a sudden, by the age of 40, somebody gets a diagnosis, and they realize that their entire life, a lot of their symptoms were not just them thinking that there was something wrong. It was an actual disorder, and it was very difficult to diagnose. Now, the way people can avoid that is if one family member is identified with a genetic disorder, then the entire family needs to be screened. And what the studies have shown is that for every patient that we find in a family, there's at least 5 or 6 others in the family that have the disease. And these are patients that it's not that they're asymptomatic. They actually have symptoms, but nobody has been able to put it all together to say, hey, this, all of these things that this patient is actually experiencing could be related to this genetic disorder. Now, there's some genetic disorders that there are no treatments. So some would argue, well, if I have a genetic disorder, I don't want to know about it because there's nothing I can do. So why would I want to know? So I have some disagreements with that line of thinking in general, but in Fabry disease, there's a treatment. So now you could spare many of the family members who never would have known by doing genetic testing, getting them on therapy early so they don't have to go through life with symptoms, which in Fabry disease are largely severe neuropathic pain, heart failure, early stroke, et cetera, because somebody in their family got diagnosed. So we are very good at screening family members for that genetic disorder. And I would recommend that anybody who has had a family member with a genetic disease to actually be screened themselves, because even if there is no treatment, universities like UAB are being proactive and saying, well, what causes this? After we know what causes it, how can we develop therapies? Those types of studies would never be done unless we identified enough patients with the disorder to actually accomplish the studies that need to be done. So everybody needs to be screened once a patient in their family has been identified with the disorder.
Great points, and thank you both. So Dr. Wallace, when is it important for other providers, whether they're within Alabama or out, to refer to this very specialized clinic, and what can they expect from you when they do?
Anybody who has been diagnosed with a rare genetic kidney disorder such as Alport's, Fabry disease, should be referred. And like Dr. Rizek said, we can actually co-manage these patients. So at least once a year, they come to University of Alabama at Birmingham. We look over the plan of care, say, are there changes to the plan of care? Are there any new therapies that are available? Are there any clinical trials, et cetera, to just continue to better the knowledge and experience of caring for these patients? The sooner the better, once these types of disorders are diagnosed. The other thing, you know, from the glomerular disease standpoint, I think there's a tendency to wait until three or four lines of therapy have not worked. So much of determining whether or not the therapy worked is actually having the experience. So, for instance, trying an immunosuppressive drug, and then if you don't give it enough time to evaluate, did it work or did it not, then you immediately switch to another immunosuppressive therapy when all you needed was a little bit longer on the first one. The earlier they're referred, the better.
If I can add to what Dr. Wallace said, so importantly, the sooner the better. I think he mentioned that. Because, again, if we can intervene at an early stage and pick the best treatment, that'll be, you know, it's a win-win situation for everybody. The second thing is if patients, you know, are sometimes tried on multiple therapies and fail multiple therapies, then their eligibility to participate in clinical trials that potentially offer them a completely new treatment, you know, albeit in the setting of clinical research, but still sometimes a life-saving or life-changing therapy becomes much more limited because there are strict criteria to entry into these clinical research studies. So to me, connecting with a clinic that has expertise in your rare disease is certainly important, and connecting early. If, you know, patients are doing well and they're on the right treatment, there's nothing to be changed, that's fine. But if we have something added to offer, then you want to be involved as soon as possible in this patient's care.
Dr. Rizek, as we wrap up here, tell us about your team at the Rare Kidney Disease Clinic at UAB. What type of providers are involved? Tell us a little bit about it.
For the time being, I head the clinic. I do have another colleague, Dr. Bruce Julian, who's been treating IgA nephropathy patients for many, many years and is a world authority on the disease. It is a teaching clinic, so we have fellows that rotate through the clinic that are interested in glomerular diseases and maybe doing an extra year of training in that particular field. And in my position as the director of clinical trial research, I often have research coordinators that will be in the clinic to go over a clinical trial if we feel that the patient may benefit from it. We are located in the nephrology clinic on the fourth floor of Kirkland Clinic with all the other nephrology clinics. The other thing I would tell you that, you know, I'm privileged to work with a lot of colleagues across the states and sometimes even internationally. You know, we have access to even more expertise outside UAB if things are really ultra rare and very complicated. So, you know, being able to be in that kind of academic environment really helps you strive to continue to be up to date and help patients to the best of your ability.
Well, thank you for that. And Dr. Wallace, last word to you. Tell us a little bit what you see is exciting or on the horizon for rare kidney disease research and what you would like other providers to know about the clinic at UAB.
What's been most exciting for me in the rare, specifically genetic kidney disease research, is the amount of new therapeutics that are available. So since 2003, before 2003, for instance, for Fabry disease, there was nothing to treat this with other than supportive care. And then in 2003, there was an FDA-approved drug for this called Fabrazyme, which was a replenishment of the enzyme. But then 2003 to 2018, there was nothing new. It was only one drug in the United States to actually treat this. In 2018, we went from most patients being on an infusion, all patients being on an infusion for their therapy, to a pill form. Some patients with specific genetic mutations could actually take a pill for this drug. Now in current clinical trials are longer acting enzymes, and actually UAB will very soon be part of a genetic therapy trial. So there are four companies now that are involved in studies that are trying to actually cure the disease, not just treat, but cure the disease by actually producing this enzyme internally. And so the things that we learn from what are termed monogenic kidney disease or monogenic diseases, where only one gene is actually responsible for the full presentation of the patient, the things we learn from the studies of this particular disease can be expanded to other diseases that actually have one gene responsible. So really, at least in the genetic types of kidney disease where we have one gene, we say if that gene is not working, then you will get the disease. There is a lot that's going on that is not only exciting for patients with Fabry disease, but for other diseases, particularly the gene therapies. I think that we have the potential to get that right and really cure disease as opposed to just treating it. But there's a lot of steps that need to be taken before those are actually in widespread use. And all of that revolves around getting adequate patients to do the clinical trials to say, does this or does this not work? And if the answer, it does work, but we need tweaks, we need to know those up front so that in this case, subsequent generations of someone's own family can actually experience the benefit of the newer therapies.
Yeah, and I would add that this is a very exciting time for kidney diseases. I mean, they're on the forefront. These are silent diseases for the most part, so people are becoming more aware of kidney diseases, and there's a lot of excitement and a lot of pharmaceutical companies that are really investing research, time, and money in treating these rare diseases. So we as a scientific community really need to meet them halfway, if I could use that term, to continue the research and continue this excitement so we can provide patients with real better treatments for what a lot of times turns out to be autoimmune disorders in the case of glomerular diseases, for example. So to Eric's point, there's a lot of intersection with other specialties or other diseases that we may benefit from treatments that have been used in other disorders. So they are not always drugs that, you know, are new. They may be repurposed for new indications. But regardless, if we don't get engaged in the scientific journey, we will essentially miss the boat and we will continue to have no treatments, no curative treatments for kidney disease. So we need to be mobilized.
Thank you both so much. What a fascinating topic. Such an interesting segment. Thank you both for sharing your expertise. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That wraps up this episode of UAB Medcast. For more information on the Rare Kidney Disease Clinic at UAB and resources available at UAB Medicine, please head on over to our website at uabmedicine.org/physician. If you as a provider found this podcast as interesting as I did, please share with other providers, share on your social media, and be sure not to miss all the other absolutely fascinating podcasts in the UAB library. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.